There's nothing valuable about it. Anything good about you and me, it is God and it is the Holy Ghost on the inside. And for that, we're thankful. And so, amen, get on where all that's archived. If you want to listen to it, watch it. And if not, then just show up in a service soon. We'll preach it to you. All right, Acts chapter number 12. Let's stand together and we won't read all of these verses. But let's read just a few here this evening. The Bible said, verse 1, now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him the four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. And here's our thought, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And of course, remainder of the verses, we understand the Lord miraculously not only hears those prayers of the church, but answers those prayers of the church, and by divine providence meets Peter where he's at, brings him out of the prison, and literally brings the answer, that is Peter himself, the answer of what they was looking for to the very door, the very house the church had gathered together to pray. And what a night that would have been. See, your answer to your prayer standing right there at your door. And has God ever done that for you? Amen. Has God ever answered anything, amen, that you've asked him for that only he could do, only he knew about, and deliver it straight into your life? I'm telling you, we serve that kind of God. And so let's continue our thought tonight, what prayer is made of. You can be seated. Heavenly Father, one more time in the name of the Lord Jesus, thank you for bringing us this way. We do pray tonight, Lord, that you'd use this for your honor and your glory. Lord, you know the condition of our physical body and health, and Lord, the limitations that are there tonight. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd use this in spite of that. And Lord, may the thoughts that we, bring back to our mind and our remembrance, Lord, may it be a challenge to us again. And then the things you've laid upon our heart, Lord, to say tonight, Lord, about this next phrase of our verse, I pray tonight that our God would be big, Lord, in this place, and help us, Lord, tonight, as only you can do. And Lord, all that you do, we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Of course, these are the days in this text where the church is literally living in the best days that it's had. And the church is expanding, it is growing in outreach and effectiveness. And yet, all along the way, there have been obstacles that have tried to hinder what God is doing. In Acts chapter number 12, we read this rising of Herod against certain of the church. No doubt he's bringing obstacles and trying to hinder that God has been doing, and lays hold upon certain of these. He eventually kills James, the brother of John, with a sword. And as our text said, he thought to do the same and proceed further with that great apostle Peter, that great man of God, to bring him to a fatal end. And thus, maybe in his mind, if I can get Peter stopped, that'll stop this Christian faith from spreading. Little did Herod know that the people of God may not have had much military might to stand against him. They may not have been a vast army of great warriors and soldiers that could have defended themselves against such a wicked king. But what he did not know is that they had something greater than that of spears and swords and shields. They weren't looking to start a revolution against the government. They were God's people and of the kingdom of Christ. And so they tapped into that ultimate power, that superior power to all powers, that is human, and they tapped into the power of prayer. Verse 5, our verse said, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made. And so we've been looking at the phrase prayer was made. We understand that, and we made the statement Herod's prison doors had clanged shut, but heaven's prayer doors had been opened wide. Amen. It didn't matter what Herod did. Didn't matter what he did to certain of the church. Didn't matter that he had done to James. It didn't matter that he had put Peter in the deepest, darkest, most secure place in the prison, intending to bring Peter to a fatal end. The children of God had opened heaven's door, found their place at the throne of grace, and there poured out their petition that they might obtain mercy and find grace in this time of need, and find help and find grace and find mercy and obtain these things they did. Not in saying of prayers, but as our verse said, prayer was made. And they didn't say prayers, they made prayers. And that gives us our thought of what prayer is made of. Made, the word made, that indicates the activity of their prayer, means to cause to be or to come into being. Literally, it means to come into existence. And so in this time of great need, this time where they are absolutely physically defenseless, where they are absolutely in a carnal sense, in a temporal sense, in an earthly sense, unable to do anything to resist that Herod is doing, they find themselves with an existent prayer life, a prayer life that is caused to be, a prayer life that is made existent. And so the question we've asked ourselves is this: is my prayer life existent or is it extinct? The opposite of something existing is that it no longer lives. And so the idea of something being made indicates that there is life in their prayers. There is life. They have indeed a prayer life, a life that is lived in prayer. And so made indicates a liveliness or a life in prayer. The word made, we said, involves and indicates a bat of labor that is involved in their prayer. Nothing is made without some sort of labor and effort that is put forth. The word made indicates and requires, we thought about the fact of some sort of list, some sort of ingredients or some sort of materials that are involved in making something, as you would a cake, as you would follow a recipe that requires certain ingredients, as you must obtain the right sorts of materials to build a house or to build a car or to build whatever you have designed or engaged in building. It requires some sort of a list. And so we've been looking at this text and the record here about the prayer that the early church made in Acts chapter number 12, dealing with the subject of what prayer is made of. It's not enough that we say our prayers. It's not enough, and I'm not against prayer books and reading the prayers of saints gone by. In fact, oftentimes in my own prayer life, I find some of the prayers that are recorded in the Word of God. Men like one that has been in my heart heavy in recent days as we've been praying for revival is the prayer of Ezra in his day as he prayed over the sins of the people of God and prayed about God helping them and blessing God for the grace and the space that God had given them to have a little reviving. And I've been making that part of my prayer, joining me to that. Not just having prayer books and reading prayers that have been prayed in days gone by, but literally what is involved in me making prayer to God. Because it's not prayers that are said that obtain answers, it is prayers that are made that obtains answers. And so looking here tonight at the fact that prayer was made, I believe there's no greater commentary or greater list, no greater truths that can be expounded on than that followed that statement, but prayer was made. What was their prayer made of? We looked at, number one, it was their prayer is made of resolve. For the next line said, but prayer was made without ceasing. That is, they were stretching themselves forth, going beyond what they had been accustomed to, and that had become common in their life. This is a new need. This is a heavy burden upon their heart that requires them to have some resolve. Not to just pray and then go about the day. Not to just pray about it one time and go on as if the problem doesn't exist. But to pray without ceasing. To pray and have that prayer made of a deep resolve that they are going to pray. They prayed with resolve, that is seen, then that they prayed without ceasing in spite of the tears, in spite of the time, and in spite of the troubles that they face in this text. Prayer is made of resolve. And then last week we said that prayer is made of relationships. The Bible said that prayer was made without ceasing, and it was made of the church. That is, that prayer sprung forth not from a preacher or a single Christian, but it came of the church collectively. Amen. Those that make up, my friend, individuals that make up of many gathered together, functioning yet as one. And so we preached on prayer was made of the church, reflecting the unity of the relationships among the many. Amen. Among the many. Verse 12 spake of many, where many were gathered together praying. And so many references all their differences in background and opinions and perspectives and even personalities. And yet the phrase gathered together praying shows they were right with one another. There was no division between them, between the things where they were different. They were united by the same God, and therefore they could pray together. They were united by the same guide, that is the Word of God, therefore they could pray together. They are united by the same goals, and so therefore they can lay aside their hurts, they can lay aside their pains, they can lay aside all the things that would bring opposition between them, and they can pray. And how important it is that we be right in our relationships this way as we are with God vertically. And so prayer was made. Prayer was made of resolve. Prayer was made here of the church. That is, it was made of relationships. Now notice number three for just a moment. And you can probably tell we're having a little trouble. So let's just get it out and get it over with, and we'll go to the house. The Bible said that prayer was made without ceasing of the church. And what would seem like to be, when you're talking about the church, when you're talking about the children of God, why, who else are you going to pray to except unto God? And yet in your King James Bible, perfectly inspired and absolutely perfectly preserved for you and I, a word of God said and noted and emphasized, they were praying unto God. They were not praying, my friend. They weren't just praying, amen, to some cloud in the sky. Amen. They're not just making some sort of formality in prayer. Brother Maurice, they are praying unto God. Amen. Praying unto God. And so our word that we're using here is that that prayer is made of reliance. Why would the Holy Spirit emphasize they were praying unto God? Amen. I know it seems to be without, it would seem to be without having to be emphasized, and yet the Word of God does. Amen. This prayer was made unto God. Now that tells me that that is the Spirit's way of emphasizing to you and to me about the early church, that their faith and their reliance, their confidence in the matter of prayer, it was toward God. Amen. Again, they're not an earthly military. They aren't seeking to conquer by the sword. And so, my friend, yet there is a battle that is raging against them. And I would remind you this evening that we, the children of God, that the battle is not ours, the battle is the Lord's. When you understand the battle is the Lord's, you can depend upon the Lord. Amen. In prayer, you will exercise no greater faith Amen. Then realizing, my friend, that your prayer is being made unto God. Amen. We're not praying when we bow our heads and our knees and our hearts to pray and to make prayer. We're not praying to some God in a distant land that is some figment of our imagination. Oh no, friend, we are saying when we pray, Lord, there are things in my life that are out of my control. There are things that have gotten bigger than what I can carry and what I can handle. I believe this church is maybe praying prayers like this. Lord, Peter is in prison and Herod has signed his death warrant. And Lord, he's on death's row and this is the days that are leading to certain death. Lord, we can't stop it from happening and Lord, we cannot intervene. There's not a lawyer in the land that'll take our case and plead our cause. Lord, there ain't anything we can do. We ain't got enough money to pay his bail. If there was one, we couldn't pay the bail. And Lord, if truth be told, the fact is that there is nothing that we can do. Amen. But what they could do, they did and found that relying upon God for the greatest of our needs is absolutely the right thing to do. And so we say tonight that prayer was made of them. Amen. Prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God. Amen. They weren't relying upon the government. Amen. The government's what's got them in the shape that they're in. Amen. It's the government that's brought the trouble. It's the government that's brought the pressure. Amen. It's the government that has handcuffed Peter and is making things hard on the people of God. Amen. They're not relying on the government to change their mind. They know that ain't gonna happen. Amen. They're not relying on the government to extend a little bit of mercy. Amen. You say, preacher, what do we do if we can't count on the government? Amen. We can do what they did and make prayer unto God. Amen. And we better learn that in this hour, in this day. Amen. Of wicked government, wicked, wicked, wicked government. Amen. That has brought so much trouble in our land. Amen. So much pressure against the church in these days and God's people and the way that they have designed a culture, even in America, and a country that was founded upon Judeo-Christian values and principles and a nation founded on doing its best to honor God and to trust God. Amen. Our nation has turned against God and against God's people. And we would be amazed how many Christians are counting, amen, on a change in those that run the government. They're relying upon that, amen, to be the salvation of our generation. Amen. May I say tonight, I understand that when the righteous rule that my friend, the people of God rejoice that that my friend, when those that know God are in authority over us, that's a blessing. Amen. And even in these days we're living in, if we can just get somebody that at the very least should be friendly toward us, that, amen, is something that we say thank God for as we should. Amen. And the fact of the matter is it doesn't matter who's running the nation. Amen. Our ultimate reliance ought to be upon the Lord alone. Amen. Again, they weren't relying upon government. They weren't relying upon other plans, but upon God and God alone. Prayer was made unto God. Amen. And so let's think about the God. Do you ever, let me ask you this question. When you pray, while you're praying, do you understand who you're praying to? Amen. And if we did, we'd probably pray longer than we pray, and we'd probably pray with greater fervency than we pray and greater passion than we pray if we really understood who we was praying to. Amen. We serve a God, amen, that when we pray unto Him, I think there's some things in the text that ought to stir us to depend upon the Lord. Amen. Let me say, number one, they were praying and relying upon the God that is Almighty. Amen. And I believe that's indicated in the text. In your King James Bible, the word and the phrase and the name that is used here, that prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God. This word that is used to translate the name God literally means the supreme divinity. It literally means the magistrate, the master, or the Lord. It indicates to you and I that in this word God, that they were praying to the one that was in control of everything. And I want to remind you that when you and I pray, that if prayer is to be made, we must be absolutely dependent and believing and casting our faith that our God is almighty. That is, there is no one beside Him. There's none greater. There's none higher. Amen. There's none with greater power. There is none, my friend, that, amen, is omnipotent as He is. Amen. There is none beside Him. And so when I pray, I'm not praying as the Muslim prays to a God that is limited. Amen. A demonic God that is limited in His power. Oh no, friend, we're praying to the God that is almighty. Amen. And so when we pray, though things may be out of our control, and things may be too big for us to bear, and things may be greater than what we can handle. Amen. Do you ever recognize when you pray unto God that you're praying to one that is almighty? Amen. The same one that came down to Abraham's son, amen, and said, amen, fear none of these things. I, thy Lord, am thy God. And He revealed Himself in Abraham's old age, saying, I am the Almighty. Amen. I'm glad that that is my God. Amen. He reveals Himself to you and I as the Almighty God. Amen. He was almighty enough. We go all through the Scripture. Amen. Almighty enough to bring up, amen, Noah saved through the flood. Almighty enough, amen, to call Abraham out and lead him safe all the days of his life and bestow upon him blessings that were impossible for Abraham and Sarah. But God said, what you think's impossible, amen, with God, nothing is impossible. Amen, the God that led Israel out of Egypt across the Red Sea. Amen, the Almighty God, that it was not a problem for Him to feed them and water them every day of their backslid days through the wilderness. Amen, the same God that, my friend, conquered the land of Canaan for the Israelites. Amen, the same Almighty God that was with David in the valley of Elah. Amen, the same Almighty God that walked through the fiery furnace with the Hebrew boys. And the same Almighty God that kept Daniel safe in the den of lions. And the same Almighty God, are y'all listening tonight? Amen, that is our God. That ain't just Abraham's God, that's my God. Amen, that's my God. He's not limited in power. Amen, I've never gone to Him about anything that, amen, the answer came back. Amen, you have to find somebody else to rely upon. I just can't do anything about that need in your life. Amen, every time I've ever gone to Him about anything, amen, He says, I've heard your prayers, boy. Amen, and I'll handle that in my time. I'll bestow my mighty power upon it. Amen. Understand, when you pray, our God is not some old man. Amen. In a rocking chair, biting his fingernails off, whittling away. Amen. Wondering what he's going to do. He ain't ever had to take a Valium pill. His nerves ain't ever got anxious. He's a God that never worries. He's a God that, my friend, never frets. Amen. He's a God that has never asked one time, how in the world am I going to solve this problem? Amen. And so when you pray tonight, amen, you rear back and you make prayer this evening. Amen. Don't you milly mouse around. Don't you, amen, have some boring prayer life. Amen. You're not praying to a boring God. You're not praying to a small God. Amen. He ain't a God you carry around in your pocket. He ain't a trinket in our truck tonight. Amen. He's a God that they made prayer to. Amen. The God that is almighty. Amen. Amen. That's good preaching for a sick preacher. Amen. Amen. The God that is almighty. Amen. I think about this evening in the text. That He is the God that is alive. Amen. The God that is alive. And I won't get into all the details of this. Maybe I should. But, amen, in this text of Acts chapter number 12, this event was centered around what verse number 4, well, verse number 3 said, them were the days of unleavened bread. These are the times of the Passover. And then in verse number 4, it said that of this event that Herod intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. And there's a lot of things in this text that, Brother Mike knows this, I think maybe we've talked about it in regard to our King James Bible. The liberals would say, them King James Bible translators, they translated that word Easter, and it should have been Passover. In fact, if you go home and read your average commentary, even good commentaries, good men that you read after, here's what you'll find. In fact, some of them's pretty cruel and dogmatic about it, and they'll say that this is the most absurd way to translate this word, and they blast the translators. Now, everybody listen, amen, the translators gave you and I an absolutely perfect Bible.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And when you began to study, and this is what the translators knew, that Herod Agrippa the First, he had an affinity with the Jews. He practiced a lot of the Jews' ceremony and a lot of their religion. But he was also, being a Roman and of the Roman Empire, he was an absolute pagan, he was a heathen, and he observed pagan religions as well. One of which was a time of worship, amen, to the goddess known as the goddess of Easter. And that corresponded with the Jews' Passover time. And so Herod is observing both at the same time in this text. And that's my answer. That's my opinion. There's some other men that wrestle with some other things. And regardless of what conclusion men come up with, the fact of the matter is we've got a perfect Bible. Amen. And so some are looking for errors. So, amen, it justifies their liberal position on the Word of God and it being perfect and preserved. But in these days, this time of the worship of the goddess known as Easter and the time of the unleavened bread, that is the Passover time, and both of these things are coinciding together. But we understand that this would be an anniversary time as we still celebrate all these many years later. That I don't reference the time that is known as Easter. I don't call it Easter Sunday anymore. I did for years. If you do, that's your prerogative. Amen. To me, it's Resurrection Sunday, and it'll be till the day I die. It's Resurrection Sunday. Amen. Amen. And so, what we understand tonight is that, amen, prior to that of the Lord's death, and even the night of His betrayal, what did He do with His disciples? Amen. He sent them to an upper room and He met them there and they ate the Passover together. And so we're in those days, and at the end of the Passover, amen, by the time the Passover was over and all those events had been done, Christ had been slain, Christ had been buried, and on the first day of the week, praise God, He got up out of the grave. Amen. It's at the end of the Passover, Jesus is out of the grave. Amen. And so what we find here in this text, amen, is that they're at that time of the year that, Amen. The Jews may be celebrating the days of unleavened bread, and Herod and the Romans may be gathered together in their worship of the goddess Easter. Amen. But what are the children of God doing? Amen. We're not practicing Judaism, and we're not practicing paganism. Amen. They're there saying, amen, it wasn't that long ago our Savior hung on an old rugged cross. There He died for our sin, and He was buried. Praise God, He didn't stay in the grave. He lives, He lives, He lives. Can I say nothing ought to cause us to make prayer? And in making prayer, be absolutely dependent, amen, upon our God to answer our prayer and to do big things with. Amen, we make prayer and trust Him for those things. Brother Larry, than the fact, Brother Bob, that our God is alive. Amen, He ain't in a grave somewhere. Amen, Buddha's bones are in the grave. Amen, Allah or the Prophet Muhammad, you'll find his bones in a grave. Amen, Joseph Smith, amen, he's in a tomb somewhere tonight. Amen, the gods, mad friend, and the temples that have been erected of him. Amen, our gods that once lived and now are dead. Amen, our God is the one who died and said, behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen, our God is alive, and that's enough to make any child of God. Amen, say if He can conquer death, conquer hell, and conquer the grave, I think I'll go spend some time in His feet, and I'll trust Him that He is God enough, amen, to do something about the needs that I have. Amen. Oh, I noted in this text. Amen. Their preacher James and brother John was not alive. Amen. Stephen, that wonderful old man of the faith, had been martyred at the hands of those religious Jews. Amen. He's not with them anymore. He's not alive. Amen. But can I say they knew their God was alive? Amen. When their friends had gone. Amen. When their beloved heroes of the faith. Amen. When their men of God were not around. Amen. And we're leaving this world through martyrdom and leaving by stone and by sword. Amen. There's something on the inside that said our faith goes beyond that of a preacher. Our reliance goes beyond that of those that we go to church with. Amen. Our reliance and our faith is in a God who is alive. Amen. And because He's alive, amen, He, my friend, is able, amen, to do something about what our needs are. Amen. That's pretty good preaching right there. Make your prayer. Prayer is made of reliance unto God. Amen. The God that is almighty and the God that is alive. Number three, and I'm done. And I worded it two different ways, but the fact is they made prayer unto God, that is the God that is alert or the God that is aware. Amen. Prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for Him. Now, I don't read anywhere in all their prayer meeting, Brother Mike, where they ever had to tell the Lord what was going on. Amen. Brother Mark, I don't read anywhere in all their prayer meeting that they had to give God the address to the prison with the prison cell and all, amen, all the things that God, all the doors God was going to have to go through to get to where Peter was. Amen. You say why? Amen. Because God knew what had happened to Peter and where he was. And when the church began to pray and say, dear God, old Peter, our preacher, another one of our preachers is in trouble. Amen. All they had to say was, God, would you help him? Amen. God already knew where Peter was at and what Peter had experienced. Amen. God knew the shackles that was on his hands. Amen. God knew the names of the soldiers he was chained to. Amen. God knew the prison cell that he was in. Amen. God, according to the text, even knew the codes to get through every gate. Amen. To get Peter out of there. Y'all listening?
Amen. They didn't have to tell God all those things. You know why, Jesse? Amen. Dear brother, I'm telling you, it's because God, amen, was alert and God was aware, amen, of what was going on. And I'm telling you, that's enough tonight. Amen. To cause every one of us to make prayer to Him and believe Him and trust Him for what we need. I tell y'all often, it is to me one of the greatest things that inspires me to continue to pray. That is that my God, Jesus said, your heavenly Father knoweth what you need before you ask. That tells me He's almighty, He is alive. Thank God He's aware of my need. He knows, child of God, He knows where you are. Amen. And yet He's invited us to pray. Amen. And some would say, well, why in the world? Why in the world would I pray then? It's just my way of being able to express to Him. And Lord, I know that You're alert and I know You're aware. And so in that, I'm trusting You with this need. Amen. He also said, you have not because you ask not. He didn't say you have not because He ain't aware of what you need. He just said you have not because you ask not. Amen. The fact is, Brother Riley, He knows what you need. Amen. He knows, my friend, what you've needed all in all. Amen. He knows the hurt and He knows the pain. And He knows what it's going to take to fix it and heal it. He knows what it's going to take to get the weights off your arms. He knows what it's going to take to get you out of the prisons. It's got you bound. Amen. And so tonight, when you make your prayer, go home and pray. Amen. Understand you're praying unto a God that is both alert and aware of what you need.
Yes, sir.
Amen. You won't have to give Him the address. All you got to do is pour out your heart and tell Him what you need Him to do. Thank God He'll say, I already know and I'm glad you asked. Amen. Amen. Prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God. Say, preacher, that's so simple. Amen. I know it is. Let me rattle our cage just a minute. If it's that simple, why is our prayer life dull and boring? Why are you praying so little then? Well, tell you why, Brother Mo, because we don't understand I'm praying unto God.
Amen.
So I know that, and we do know that, but do we really, really exercise it when we're praying? Amen. I love getting in there and telling God how almighty He is.
Amen.
Y'all know me, I don't talk a whole lot about my own personal prayer life and all that, but I'll tell you this, a lot of my prayer time's focused in on saying, Lord, I know You can.
Amen.
God, I know You can. You have proven time and time again, not just in others' life, in my life, You are Almighty God.
Yep.
Amen. Amen. Pray to Him and brag on Him that He's your creator.
Amen.
He's your healer.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
He's the way maker.
Right.
Spend your time. You'd be amazed the more you get telling Him how big and almighty of a God He is. You'll get amazed how big He'll get in your soul.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And you'll be amazed, amen, how He'll confirm in your heart all over again He really is alive.
Yep.
Amen. Then you can start pouring your heart out and He'll say, yeah, I know.
Amen.
Amen. And when prayer's made unto God in that fashion, big things can happen in our life. Amen. All right. Heavenly Father, we love You tonight. Thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for the lessons on prayer. Thank You, Lord, that You know that You're almighty. Lord, we're glad tonight our God lives. He lives. He lives. Lord, the one that was dead, and behold, is alive forevermore, and hath the keys of death and of hell. Oh, we're glad tonight, Lord, we get to pray to and serve a God that's living. Oh, that blesses my heart tonight. Lord, I pray that, Lord, we would all understand we pray to a God that's alive, and that, Lord, that would liven our prayer life, our prayer time. Lord, we'd go from being drab and nearly extinct to, Lord, existing, and not just existing, but Lord, having a liveliness and a life and a labor, Lord, as we make prayer unto you. Lord, I pray this evening, Lord, I know here tonight, Lord, some that are not here tonight, some that are watching the live stream, that, Lord, they've been making prayer about some things a long, long time. Lord, I just want to ask you on their behalf, Lord, you'd start answering some of them prayers. Lord, you'd come through and open some prison doors, and Lord, make a way and let the answer their prayer. Lord, meet them on their doorstep, Lord, even tonight. Lord, when they wake up tomorrow to go to work, I pray they'd be greeted, Lord, by answers to prayers. Lord, that you'd do some great things. Lord, do it for this church. Lord, we trust in you for some big things, asking you, Lord, for some big things. Lord, we believe that you're able, Lord, because we know who we pray to. Lord, I pray you'd bring it all to pass. Bring it all to pass. And Lord, when you've brought it all to pass, Lord, bring it exceeding and abundantly above all that we've asked and, Lord, even thought. Lord, we promise to give you the glory, understanding it's prayer unto God. Lord, it's us pouring our heart out to you and you answering that prayer for your own name's sake. So we'll not rob you of the glory. Lord, we will brag on you, and Lord, we'll say what great things God has done. Lord, we'll thank you, Lord, again. Thank you tonight for what you're going to do. Bless the church, the remainder of our week, all the things we got to get to ministry-wise and, Lord, otherwise. Lord, I pray that you'd help us all, each and every one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.